Coming up on Golf Today, we're just a day away from the start of the Augusta National Women's Amateur. We're going to be heading on site for a preview. Out of this field of 72, who's the favorite to win it? We're setting the stage for one of the best weeks of the year. On the PGA Tour, Rory McIlroy teeing it up with the Valero Texas Open to get his game Augusta ready. One of the headliners trying to fine-tune things before the season's first major. Will this be the get-right week for Roars as he tries to complete the career Grand Slam by capturing the Masters? And it's becoming a Tuesday tradition. Last week's PGA Tour winner getting the Golf Today stamp of approval, Stephen Yeager on the show talking about his Masters invite after winning in Houston and how he's preparing for his first trip to Augusta. The answers coming up as Golf Today starts right now.
Golf Today.
Hey there, welcome into Golf Today. I'm George Savarikas alongside Eamon Lynch. Once that calendar turns to the month of April, pretty hard to top things in the world of golf, especially with what we have the next couple weeks in Augusta, Georgia. And oh, by the way, after the Masters on the LPGA Tour, the first major of the season as well with the Chevron Championship. Bunch of high-level events back to back to back.
There's a good chance a fair number of careers are going to be defined in the next few weeks out there, including careers that are already pretty accomplished that are looking for capstones, others that are just starting out right now. There's some really enormous prizes to be won in the next few weeks if you can earn them. They ain't giving them away anywhere.
No, they certainly aren't. And you talk about careers launched, and if you flash back to what we saw with the Augusta National Women's Amateur, the run that Rose Zhang went on last year was absolutely spectacular to then immediately win on the LPGA Tour as well. So the Augusta National Women's Amateur, the event has quickly become one of the most prestigious events in the amateur game. You have 72 of the top female amateur players from around the world descending upon Augusta, Georgia. And a year ago, Stanford's Rose Zhang had so much pressure on her coming into this week, was the favorite to win it. The Cardinal got the job done in that two-hole playoff against Jenny Bay. Wasn't long after Rose Zhang won her very first start on the LPGA Tour as a professional after she had capped off just that incredible standout career at Stanford.
And some impressive champions in the Augusta National Women's Amateur, starting with Jennifer Kupcho, now a major champion on the LPGA Tour back in 2019. No tournament in 2020 with the COVID pandemic. Tsubasa Kyajitani was the victor in 2021, Anna Davis, and of course, Rose Zhang. And here's how you can watch the Augusta National Women's Amateur, Wednesday and Thursday, first and second rounds from Champions Retreat at 1:30 p.m. Eastern Time, right here on Golf Channel. Friday, live from the Augusta National Women's Amateur during the practice round at Augusta National. Saturday, 10 a.m., live from, followed by at noon on NBC, the final round of the championship. And Morgan Pressel is on the call this week from Augusta, Georgia, and Morgan joins us right now. Morgan, you're out there at Champions Retreat. We had Megha Ghanaian and Emilia Migliaccio on the show yesterday, both of whom said that's actually the tougher course in some respects at the Augusta National Women's Amateur every year, that it probably doesn't get the respect that it deserves. What do you need to see from the competitors this week in these first couple of rounds out there so they can make their way down the street to Augusta National?
Well, good afternoon, I guess, at this point, guys. But it's great to be here. Excited to be here at Champions Retreat for the next couple of days. The golf course is in fabulous shape. It's kind of a tale of two nines. They're going to get a little bit of a taste of Augusta National with the tremendous undulation on the back nine here. There are some small greens, some very undulating greens. We're expecting some weather to come in. But, you know, everybody here really wanting to make that top 30, that cut, to be able to play a competitive round of golf, not just a practice round, on Augusta National comes Saturday. But the weather, we have some weather moving in tomorrow. It could make for an interesting couple of days here. I think Champions Retreat will play very difficult with the wind that's expected to pick up. And it's going to be a little bit different than the practice. As you can see, it is a spectacularly warm and beautiful day here at Champions Retreat today.
Morgan, this is the fifth Augusta National Women's Amateur. How has the event evolved over the years?
Yeah, it's, I mean, in 5 years, I guess 6 years with the 1 year off, it's become clearly the most impactful event in women's amateur golf. And I think that's really important. You've seen, certainly from the first matchup, watching Maria Fassi and Jennifer Kupcho battle it coming down the stretch at Augusta National, gone on to be two stars on the LPGA Tour. Of course, Rose Zhang and what she was able to accomplish in terms of stardom after winning here at Augusta National and then going on to validate by winning her very first start on the LPGA Tour, as you guys just mentioned. Anna Davis became a superstar overnight. And I'm actually really interested to see how she plays this week after what happened in her title defense last year, getting a four-shot penalty basically on the very first hole of the championship because she played lift, clean, and place in the rough in the wrong spot on the golf course. And she was really able to shake that off and bounce back nicely. But I'm really excited to see her compete here this week, hopefully without any rule snafus.
I'm wondering if there's a favorite in your mind, given the caliber of competitors who are out there, Morgan. You look at Ingrid Lindblad, who's number one in the world amateur golf rankings. She just had her 14th career college victory at LSU. Is she someone you look at this week as worthy of a lot of attention out there?
Absolutely. You cannot ignore Ingrid. The first time I got the chance to watch her was at Pine Needles when she was the low amateur in the Women's Open. Very impressive there. I believe nearly a top 10, T11 there. And I watched her on the range yesterday. You know, she's got her longtime coach from home in town this week watching over her. I would expect big things from her. She wants to turn pro and join the professional ranks after this season. And this is her last chance, and I know that that's definitely weighing on her mind, and that brings back memories, really, of Rose Zhang, who knew, even though maybe we didn't know, she knew that this was going to be her very last Augusta National Women's Amateur and wanted to go out with a bang.
Do you think there's scar tissue involved for Ingrid? Because she was very close to the playoff a couple of years ago then. She bogeyed in the following year, the 18th hole, to finish one back. Augusta National, you know, fans are so intimately familiar with the golf course. We all know the tragedies and triumphs over the years there, and Ingrid's actually got her share of them as well. Do you think there's a little scar tissue that represents a hurdle for Ingrid that others in the field perhaps don't have to face this week?
I think it's a little bit of both. I think one is experience. I think it's golf. You're going to develop scar tissue. Granted, amateurs and the young players in this field have a little bit less than as you progress through the game, but also a desire for redemption. She knows how to play this golf course. She knows she can put herself, both of these golf courses, she knows how to put herself in position to win championships and has done that through the collegiate ranks for many years. And so, yes, maybe a little bit of scar tissue, but that also builds character and builds resilience. And I would expect her to come out with full redemption mode here this week.
Morgan, it's a bit unique where you prep for Champions Retreat, 36 holes there, then the practice round for Augusta for those 30 players who advance for that final round on Saturday. What's the difference in mentality when it comes to scoring opportunities with Champions Retreat to then what you see for those final 18 holes, which is more of the sprint to the finish?
Yeah, I think as I mentioned earlier, it's really going to depend on weather. We're not quite sure what's going to happen. There's a front that's supposed to come through tomorrow morning. Temperatures are going to fall pretty dramatically. We could have potentially some very gusty winds tomorrow. I know that there's been talk of, let's hope we get the golf in tomorrow entirely. We have a little bit of a buffer there, a few hours to play with. But the weather on Saturday is supposed to be gorgeous. So I believe the scoring conditions relative to weather will be much more conducive to lower scores on Augusta National. We know how that back nine can play and how many fun scoring opportunities there are. As you did mention, disaster, but there's also the opportunity to really make a move. And so it's really just about putting yourself in position these 2 days. I think staying patient. Like I said, there are some small greens out here. Really keeping your ball in the right spot on these greens as the wind picks up is going to be even more difficult to putt. So just players being cognizant of that, watching the leaderboard, and you know, in a mentality, I always say you never really want to try to make the cut. You usually end up missing the cut by one. So go out there and you want to be, you'd like to be in that top three, almost nearly leading the tournament by the time you get to Augusta National.
We do have some players this week, Morgan, who are playing their third, fourth, in some cases even their fifth Augusta National Women's Amateur. What do you think is the value of experience, and does that help kind of dilute some of the nerves that might otherwise exist?
Yeah, I would say no question. Players who have been in this position have stood on that tee, certainly on Saturday at Augusta National, and had their name announced and hit that first tee shot for the first time. They're going to be a little bit less nervous having done it again. But if they do happen to be in that final group, all those nerves might come back. I think the fact that it's a race to learn both of these golf courses, that's where experience really helps. Players getting the chance to play Champions Retreat today and then one practice round on Augusta National. And if you've never played either of these golf courses, that's a really tough way to learn a course so quickly. Really have to rely on a caddy who hopefully has done a good bit of homework, or maybe even rely on a local who knows the golf course better than anybody.
Morgan, good to spend some time with you. We'll be watching this week.
Thanks, guys.
Well, first-round coverage of the Augusta National Women's Amateur begins tomorrow on Golf Channel at 1:30 p.m. Eastern Time from Champions Retreat Golf Club. We'll have the highlights here on Golf Today as we lead you into the coverage. We'll be right back.
A lot to get to on Golf Today. Rory McIlroy in the field this week at the Valero Texas Open. His final prep before the Masters, but not the only one in the fold. We're going to hear from a couple major champions in Texas right on the other side of the short break.
PGA Tour remains in the Lone Star State this week for the Valero Texas Open. It's actually the third oldest event on tour, which first contested all the way back 1922. And this week's defending champion is the focus of our Win Grips winning moments today, and that would be Canadian Corey Connors. He fired a final round 68 last year to win by one stroke. It was the second time he'd won this event, also the champion back in 2019.
Certainly likes this spot. Corey, once again, back to defend his title, go for his third dub in this event. There are a number of big names in San Antonio joining him, headlined by Rory McIlroy, also in the field, a past champ in Jordan Spieth. And we've got Max Homa and Colin Morikawa as well. So with more on these players getting their last start before the Masters, we say hello to Rex Hoggard, who joins us live from TPC San Antonio. Rex, does this week feel like guys are, starting to cram before finals week next week at Augusta?
Yeah, I think that's a perfect analogy, George. I think if you ask any of the 30 players who are in this week's field at TPC San Antonio and also in the field next week at the Masters, they'll all tell you that the focus is squarely on this tournament. They want to be able to compete here at TPC San Antonio. But in their heart of hearts, they'll also tell you that it's impossible not to peek ahead to next week in the year's first major championship.
Well, for me, there's some work that I'm doing on the driver at the moment. It's not quite matched up with the rest of the bag this year and sort of got me into a couple of bad habits. So that's something that we're working on. Masters is it's not that penal off the tee in terms of width, but it's a really good driving golf course. If you don't drive it well, then you've not got that much of a chance around there. So that's something that I'm working on. This course is, I've never been here before, but it's a pretty demanding course off the tee. So I think that's going to be really good. And of course, I've actually never played the week before the Masters in all the times that I've played it. So I think looking for that game sharpness, stay in the present and focus on this week, of course. And the Masters then turns into a shorter week, but just that game sharpness going into a course that if you've been there a lot, then you obviously know it pretty well, but there's always an element of trying to get ready for it.
For me, it's just about, sticking to a game plan this week and just seeing where the game's at more than anything, I think, rather than trying to, get a result. It's more about just seeing where we're at and then maybe make any fine-tuning adjustments next week at Augusta, ready for Thursday next week.
Is there anything specifically you're working on your game, maybe with an eye towards next week?
No, nothing specifically. I mean, obviously, with Augusta, it tests every aspect of your game, so you kind of got to do everything well there, I feel like. But this week in particular is just about, good warm-up for next week. Hopefully have a good week here. See where the game's at and go from there.
Trying to just build off some really good iron play of lately. I ironed it really well at the Players. It's something that's you have to do extremely well at Augusta. You need to be able to play aggressively to conservative spots on those greens and having control of your golf ball. That's why Scotty's done so well there, among other places he's done so well. But his ability to really control his iron game, I think, is why he's been such a problem there.
Now, Brian also told me that traditionally he doesn't like to play the week before a major championship, but that all changed last year. In July, he finished tied for 12th at the Scottish Open, then, of course, went on to win the Open Championship the very next week. So he and his team kind of sat down during the offseason, and they sort of crunched the numbers, and they saw that he usually plays his best his second week back out. So the plan this year is to play the week before a major championship, hoping to sort of be at his best that second week back out. And a little more Masters news, I have been able to confirm that Rory McIlroy flew up to Augusta, Georgia yesterday. He's playing a practice round today at Augusta National, and the plan is to fly to San Antonio for this week's Texas Open tonight. Georgie?
Thank you, Rex. Rory in stealth mode with that Augusta trip. We saw some other guys, other European players, Matthew Pavon and Shane Lowry also there. Would be surprising if, you know, they didn't cross paths at Augusta, Eamon.
And I believe Camilo Villegas hitched a ride with Rory up there yesterday as well. First round coverage of the Valero Texas Open begins Thursday at 4 p.m. Eastern. But you can catch Golf Central pregame right here on Golf Channel at 3 p.m. One of the most prestigious events in the game is now just a day away. The Augusta National Women's Amateur gets underway tomorrow at Champions Retreat, and we'll have the best storylines from on the ground in Georgia with Paige McKenzie. And the latest winner on the PGA Tour, Stephen Yeager, is here too. He just earned himself an appointment next week in Augusta as well. We'll find out if he's found a place to sleep now that he's earned his tee time. Golf Today continues right now.
Golf Today.
Welcome back into Golf Today. Eamon Lynch alongside George Savarikas. George, one day away from the Augusta National Women's Amateur, we've seen some of actually the more entertaining fireworks that we've seen in Augusta in a few years have been in this championship, all the way back to the Cupcho Maria Fassi playoff that was so thrilling back, what, 2019?
Well, yeah, think of that showdown. And I mean, Jennifer Kupcho making eagle on 13, and just so much to be decided on that second nine at Augusta on Saturday. It's such a good precursor to drive, chip, and putt, which is marked at stake as that Sunday staple. And then that's the lead-in to Masters Week. So it's such a tremendous stretch of golf that we get out of Augusta, Georgia.
We used to so look forward to that one glorious week of the year at Augusta National. Now they've turned it into 2 weeks for us. And we're just one day away, as we noted, from the first round of the Augusta National Women's Amateur. It's only existed for 5 years, but the impact of this event grows every year. And let's flash back to that first playing of the Augusta National Women's Amateur back in 2019. Two of the best collegiate players went head-to-head in what was a compelling final round. In the end, Jennifer Kupcho beat Maria Fassi by 4 strokes.
And how impressive is that list of past champions? I mean, Jennifer Kupcho winning the inaugural one, and the ensuing celebration, it was a 2 years wait for Tsubasa Kajitani to win in 2021, then Anna Davis at just 16, the lefty, getting the win in 2022, and Rose Zhang, who was the favorite coming in, capturing it a year ago. So we now have Paige McKenzie with us. And Paige, this week marks the fifth playing of this event. How would you describe the change from year one to where we are now?
That's a great question, because I think in the first year or two, it was still trying to find an identity and a place within the women's amateur game. If you remember back, it used to go up against the first women's major of the year in the professional game that also would extend invites to amateurs, and there was always a choice for the best amateurs in the country and in the world which event they would play. And now it is solidly has a position on the women's golf schedule, has its own identity, and it's something that all the players look forward to. I had a LPGA Tour winner, Alexa Pana, who participated in this event, say to me last week in the LPGA event in Phoenix, she said, "Are you going again?" And I said, "Yeah, I'll be there." And she goes, "Oh, I just want to go back." She talked about how that experience was one of the best that she's had in the game. So that's the kind of weight that it holds now in the women's golf schedule.
And Paige, everyone dreams of getting to Augusta National for that final competitive round on Saturday, but that golf course right behind you derails a lot of dreams before they get there. Champions Retreat is a pretty demanding test in and of its own right. What makes it so tough for players to navigate these first 2 days to get to Augusta National?
I think it challenges all aspects of the game. It's not overly demanding off of the tee, but certainly length and putting yourself in position is important. Big undulating greens, and then off of the green complexes, you're still dealing with slight dormant Bermuda, which makes it challenging for the players to get up and down. I think this is a tremendous test, and it's been proven over the last several years. You talked about the quality of the champions that have come out of Augusta National. It's because that this golf course eliminates and starts to separate the best for the, that make it to Augusta on the weekend.
Paige, so many different storylines pop up with the 72-player field, and I know this year there's a bit of a sister act theme at the Augusta National Women's Amateur.
There is, and there's certainly names that are familiar and those that we're introducing you to. And the first sister act that I want to tell you about is Maisie Filler and her sister, Natalie Sheehan, who is on the bag. She was also caddying for her last year in this event. And while Maisie has increased her profile and at a time was number one in the college game earlier this season, just a month or so ago, she got to number one in college golf ranking. Her sister, Natalie, actually might have a greater profile as she is a golf pass coach and instructor. Natalie has a tremendous social media following and is also just a really great coach. She does not coach Maisie, though, although she is still responsible for part of her coaching in that she introduced her to Jason Bale, who took over as her coach in June of last year. Started with a bunker lesson, and then it went to a little bit of a swing rework. She was having a reverse spine angle at the spine tilt, I should say, at the top of her golf swing, was coming too far from the inside, had a strong grip. That has since been neutralized, and the results have followed. Three wins so far this season, and she suddenly now is one of the names to watch as we enter this week. Sister act.
Sorry,
there's a couple more sisters that I wanted to talk to you about. Cayetana Garcia Pollo. She is a new player from Texas A&M. She's originally from Spain, and she has her sister, Gabby, on the bag. Her older sister, Blanca, has previously played in this event as well. But a laid-back personality, and rather than having a local caddy that maybe will give her too much information, she chooses to have the familiarity of her sister, Gabby. And then another player, Rin Yoshida, from Japan. She's just 20 years old. A name that you also may find to be familiar is her sister, Yuri Yoshida, who is a rookie on the LPGA Tour. And Yuri's advice to Rin was, don't try to imitate me. Go out and try to be the best version of yourself. So a couple of familiar names, faces, and sister acts to follow this week.
And there's something to be said for having that comfort in a stressful situation. I wanted to ask you about Ingrid Lindblad, number one in the Women's World Amateur Golf Ranking. She finished one shot back both in 2021 and 2022. They're so agonizingly close to victory, but she's just had her 14th win for LSU. She's riding a hot streak. Do you look at her as someone who should be considered a strong favorite this week?
She's certainly on the short list. And if there were odds on this, she may be the odds-on favorite for this event. Not only is she the number one in the world, but she's also the number one in college golf, and that speaks to what you said she's accomplished at LSU. I had a chance to catch up with her today, and you'll see that walk-and-talk interview tonight on Golf Central. But she's comfortable. She's comfortable here. She knows that her experience at Champions Retreat specifically will serve her well. She even talked to me about places that she was thinking about missing it, lessons that she's learned after playing this golf course multiple times. So when I talked to her about coming into this event as a favorite, she said she was both nervous and excited. This is what she's worked for. Steve Rakowski over the last several years has documented how she would pose in pictures with the number one finger, aspiring to be the world number one. She seeks out being in the spotlight and having the opportunity to be in positions like this. Doesn't mean it's any less nerve-wracking, but certainly if anybody is prepared to take on this challenge this week, it's Ingrid Lindblad.
We've seen at Augusta so often the value of experience. You know, when Bernhard Langer shows up in his 50s and top 10s in the Masters, are we at that point now with the women's amateur as well, when we have players there this week who are playing for the third, fourth, perhaps even fifth time in this championship? Does the value of experience really start to come to the fore now, do you think, Paige?
I think so. And I actually think not only is it about knowing and understanding this golf or Augusta National golf course, because there's not very many things that I feel like, having played it, that are intuitive. There are certain places to miss it that you wouldn't necessarily expect that that would be the correct leave. So, yes, the value of experience of playing it multiple times is important. But more than that, for these women, you're also adding in the extra layer of patrons and of cameras and of knowing that this is the highest profile women's amateur event and will be on network television. So I think having that kind of experience under your belt will also help. So it's more than just the course. It's the experience of this event.
Paige, looking forward to a good week. Hopefully the weather holds it off for you down in Augusta.
Thank you, guys.
So here's the schedule for the Augusta National Women's Amateur, assuming no delays. First and second rounds, you see Wednesday, Thursday, 1:30 Eastern on Golf Channel. Friday, we're going to have live from the Augusta National Women's Amateur at 1:30 Eastern. All 72 players in the field play a practice round at Augusta on Friday, but only the top 30 in ties advance to Saturday's final round, which you can catch on Golf Channel, live from the Augusta National Women's Amateur at 10 a.m. Eastern, and then the final round coverage on NBC at noon. Still to come, he's the latest winner on the PGA Tour, and he is joining us next. You don't want to miss our conversation with Stephen Yeager, who now has his invite to the Masters. That's right after this short break.
Golf Central Update, brought to you by Callaway Golf.
Welcome back to Golf Today. It was a heck of a Sunday for Stephen Yeager at the Texas Children's Houston Open, taking down the world number one, Scottie Scheffler, for his first career victory on the PGA Tour. He's now fully exempt through the 2026 season. He also earns a spot in all four remaining signature events this season, plus the Masters, the PGA Championship, and the Century in 2025. And he joins a list of first-time winners in 2024. He is the fifth one this year, joining Nick Dunlap, Matthew Pavon, Jake Knapp, and Austin Eckrug. And Stephen joins us now. Stephen, congratulations on the victory. I know it was a pressure situation to get your first win on the PGA Tour. Were you aware, or were you registering the context that you were going up against not only the world number one, but the world number one who'd won his last two starts and was in absolutely sublime form? Or did it matter who you were up against on Sunday?
You know, the good thing is I obviously played with Scotty the last two rounds, Saturday and Sunday, and he's such a good dude to play with. He's so easy to talk to, kind of down to earth. And it for me, it was just, you know, it was another round, obviously with a lot more pressure and a lot more at stake. But I felt like I couldn't have picked a better guy to go against. You know, he's genuinely nice, and but he also wants to beat me. And I tried to do the same on the weekend, and obviously got him this time. He's been on such a hot streak to be able to, you know, beat him on this one. It feels pretty nice.
Steven, it's such a whirlwind when you win. You do the interview right there on the green. You have the media availability. You're cruising mm-hmm. to the next event. Now that you've had a little time to let it sink in that you've won on the PGA mm-hmm. Tour, what was the pinch me moment that you reflect on?
Yeah, you know, I've been in this spot in the rankings, in a sense, where I've played pretty well early in the season, earned a couple of, you know, signature events, which is awesome, but it also kind of limited the rest periods I had in my game, right? Like if I got in the Pebble, so that was my fourth or fifth week in a row, got in the Honor Palmer, which kind of took that rest week away before the Players. And I could tell that some weeks I felt a little mentally fatigued, in a sense. You know, just if you play that many weeks in a row, it just eventually you're going to get tired. So to be able to, you know, pick your schedule, you know, what tournaments I'm going to play in, I know what tournaments I'm going to get in, and to be able to kind of limit the starts, in a sense, of having the luxury of being in these events is huge for me, to be able to kind of get some rest at home and actually enjoy the fruits of your labor as well.
And your whirlwind doesn't just end with the celebrations and the media obligations, because you got yourself a big date next week, Stephen. Where are you in terms of the logistics? Have you found your place to stay yet? Have you figured out when you're getting there? Have you actually played Augusta National before at all, even with buddies?
Yeah, so I've never played Augusta National. It'll be my first time this week. I'm going to go down there at some point this week and check it out before all the craziness of the actual Masters happens. And I've always been the one of the guys that I wanted my first trip there to be earned, in a sense, you know, get that first W or you know, obviously through world rankings. But I wanted to be able to say, hey, I earned my right to have a tee time there. And the logistics for me is pretty easy. We live only like 3.5 hours away. So we're going to drive down Monday with my family. And good thing I have a good agent. He already got my house set up. It's, you know, obviously I want my family there. That's kind of part of the whole package. I want them to experience that the same as me. I want them to be set up and I want us to have a good spot. So we found a house pretty quickly. I think there's still going to be some adjustment getting there on Monday. Hey, where do I register? You know, it's like back in your rookie year, you know, like, hey, where's registration? Where's dining? Where's the range and all that kind of cool stuff. So I'm excited for that. I'm super excited for the par three. I think that's always a really cool family event. And my wife is stoked. My son, I'm sure, has no clue what's going on, gonna be going on Wednesday. But to be able to kind of go there and enjoy the feeling, enjoy the trip. But when Thursday comes around, you know, I want to be back to business. I want to be giving myself a chance to win on Sunday. I'm playing nicely. It's just all mindset stuff, expectation stuff for me now to be able to get my best performance mindset going forward.
And Steven, you got a multinational background. You got family, obviously, in Tennessee, family in Germany, where you grew up. You came to the States when you were 17 as an exchange student for your junior year of high school back in 2006, and you played high school golf with Harris English, Keith Mitchell. Are there any guys that you will rely on to kind of help shorten the window of prep and what you have to learn when it comes to the nuances of Augusta?
Yeah, good thing, honestly, you know, Harris has been there a couple times, so I haven't really talked to anybody about practice rounds or anything. I have a really experienced caddy, Henry Diana. He's been out on tour for a long time. He's been there a few times that I'm going to rely on heavily that week. And once again, I'm going to go down this week and try to get at least a sense of what the golf course is like. I know it's probably not tournament condition yet with the screen speeds and firmness, but just to see it and kind of get the nuances of how severe the place plays, right? And, you know, I'm hoping to kind of get a practice round in, one or two at least. I'm planning on only playing 9 holes a day, but maybe somebody that's played well there in the past, you know, that I can be like, hey, can I join you guys? That's definitely on the schedule. But yeah, it's such an exciting week. I'm so pumped for it. I can't wait to play that event. I feel like I know every hole. Like, you watch it every year and you're like, okay, once, you know, a little uphill and the greens kind of sits up and it, you know, I can tell you every pin position and every hole. I've never played it. So it's kind of a cool spot to be in.
You've put a lot of work in to get to where you are right now, just even in the last couple of years, Stephen, in terms of mental game, swing speed. Was there a point where you realized that what you had wasn't good enough to contend as often as your talent deserved?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that was, you know, I just talked about this with Colt. You know, I looked at, you know, I kind of went back and forth a couple years from the PGA Tour, the Korn Ferry, and I didn't perform as well out on tour that I wanted to, that I thought I should. And the same thing happened after the COVID year on the Korn Ferry Tour. I graduated back up and, you know, was number one on my list, thought, hey, you know what, this is going to be different. And I got back on tour and just my driving was not good enough. And it was super frustrating because I felt like I was putting the work in and it wasn't, you know, I wasn't mentally in the right spot. And as soon as I felt like I like got an inch of this feeling like, hey, you know what, I think I can do this. You know, I can get over this hurdle of not being a good driver. I'll be honest, I don't think I would have ever, you know, dreamed of being one of my strongest part of my game. You know, I can rely on that week in and week out. And to be able to turn that around into a positive is such a cool story. And I'm you know, super happy that's what had happened. And now, you know, it's hopefully the sky's the limit as you know, I want to keep working on the mental side of the game and keep getting better at driving it and putting and wedging. I have so many things that I can still improve on to be able to get to the level I want to get to.
Well, we know, obviously, you got the invite to the Masters, the PGA Championship. You're top 50 in the world right now. You're all the way up to 43rd. So looking very probable for the U.S. Open and the Open. And then don't sleep on, the Paris Olympics as well. Is that on your radar at all?
Yeah, that's definitely this year. You know, I don't know who did the schedule for us this year, but we actually have a week off for the Olympics, which is huge because I had to miss it in Tokyo because I was in that category where, like, I don't know if I can miss a week. You know, I was trying to, you know, still get a foot into being able to, you know, relax a little bit and knowing, you know, you're going to be out of here for a couple of years. And thankfully I have that now. I mean, I had it before this win as well. I felt like I was getting more comfortable out of here, but to be able to represent Germany for the Olympics is huge. It's been, you know, once they kind of reinstated the golf as an Olympic sport, it was definitely on my radar to be a part of that team and part of the experience. And, you know, Paris ain't a bad place to be either. So we're super excited for that week for sure.
You've got a lot of big dates on your dance card coming up, Stephen. But certainly there aren't many guys heading down Magnolia Lane with more confidence than you. So we look forward to seeing how this next week plays out for you. Thanks for joining us.
I appreciate it, guys. Thanks.
Let's take a look at the Comcast Business Tour top 10. And in the top spot, not surprisingly, the man who is world number one, Scottie Scheffler. But the guy we just talked to jumped up 37 spots with that win at the Texas Children's Houston Open. That's Steven Yeager from 47th to 10th. He is among the top 10 in the standings right now. Switching gears, as Champions Retreat Golf Club plays host to the first couple rounds of the Augusta National Women's Amateur, which begins tomorrow on Golf Channel. The course is located 10 miles northwest of Augusta National Golf Club in Augusta suburbs. So you're going to see the final round at Augusta National on Saturday. Rachel Keene, a four-time All-American at Wake Forest, making her fourth Augusta National Women's Amateur appearance in 2022. She advanced to the final round at Augusta National, birdied four of her first seven holes to card a 69 and finish top 10. She finished seventh. So for more, let's send it out to Steve Burkowski, who has a guest with him on site.
I do indeed, George. The two-time ACC Player of the Year, Rachel Keene, kind enough to spend some time with us here today at Champions Retreat. And George just talked about it, your fourth appearance at the Augusta National Women's Amateur. What does it mean each and every year to have this opportunity to come back?
Well, I mean, I think this is a week that everyone has circled on their calendar every year. So to get the opportunity to tee it up against, you know, the 75 best players in the world, I think is something you never take for granted. But especially at, you know, two incredible venues. Champions Retreat is great in its own way. And obviously Augusta National has so much history within the golfing community. So anytime you get a chance to tee it up there, I just think it's something that you just get to soak it in. And definitely really excited to be back this year.
In your three previous appearances, what have you learned each and every time to be successful out here? Ultimately, it's still a golf tournament that everyone wants to win.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely think there's a lot of knowledge on this golf course in particular about more learning where not to hit it. And, you know, the first time you kind of come to this event, you're really just starstruck. You're just trying to soak it in and to just really enjoy the experience. And then I think, you know, the second and third time you're like, okay, I can get out here and I can compete. But I think what I've learned more than anything is that there's holes out here that you can be really aggressive on, and there's definitely some birdies out there, but there's definitely holes where you're just happy to walk away with a par.
When you look at the women's amateur game, the inaugural playing of this tournament in 2019, how has this event evolved from your perspective and truly what it means to the best amateurs in the world?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely think that its platform is only continuing to grow. Kind of the pedestal that's putting women's amateur golf on for the entire world to see, I think, is incredible. And I think, you know, it's now a household tournament name. You hear everyone talking about ANWA. And I do remember the first year, I didn't actually get into the field the first year they had it. I was like 800 or something in the world. So I could have only dreamed of being here, much less to have played, you know, the last 4 years. But I think, you know, it's continued to inspire so many girls across the world, and you can see it on TV, and you can come out and watch, and to see girls walking the fairways of Augusta National, I think it's only going to continue to inspire generations to come.
Yeah, and as it continues to grow, an added bonus on Friday, you get to play the par 3 course. Yeah. Have you ever been around that venue before?
I have once or twice, but it will definitely be a really special experience. And like you said, the tournament's continuing to grow. It's a new aspect that's been added this year and will be tons of fun. So to get to tee it up with some friends around there, maybe have a little friendly competition, will be loads of fun.
And on your bag this week, your boyfriend, Alex Fitzpatrick, that you've been together for about 3.5 years. He was a standout at Wake Forest, plays on the DP World Tour. What is the dynamic like between you two when he's on the bag?
I definitely think there's a lot of conversation. He keeps me loose. He really helps me enjoy the moment. But it's been interesting because he obviously plays his own type of golf game. So he started to learn mine and learn what I need from a caddy. And I think we're still kind of trying to figure out our dynamic with him on the bag. But I know regardless of what happens, it'll be a great week.
Second time he's caddied for you. What were the results the first go around?
First time he caddied in an LPGA event, and I missed the cut by one. So I know we definitely learned a lot from that week, and we have a new mindset going into this week, that's for sure.
All kidding aside, what can he share with you, being a professional golfer's brother, a major champion, that truly maybe helps you?
Dating a golfer, I feel like, really motivates me. We bring the best out of each other, really, on the golf course and just in our relationships and everything, but what's really nice is to have just a sounding board, feeling like I have someone that I can share my experiences with. He's been through the same thing, and he can give me advice. And it's just been really nice to have someone to lean on that kind of gets it.
And someone that you've been able to lean on from the very get-go, your mother, Brenda Corey Keene, an All-American at Wake Forest back in the mid-'80s. How would you describe the relationship between you two and the role she's played in getting you to this point?
Yeah, my mom really is my best friend. She's taught me everything I know about golf, specifically about mindset and attitude and responding to adversity. But our relationship is so much more than golf now, and I'm so thankful that, like you said, I have someone else that really gets it and can kind of mentor me through all of this. But it's just a really great bond and something I think that we hold really special, the relationship we have through golf and outside of golf, too.
What are the friendly family games like back home between all of you?
Lots of trash talk. I have two brothers, and there's never a dull moment in the Keene household. I know last Christmas we were kind of bored, and we set up garage pickleball. And then the next thing you know, we had a whole tournament going. So very competitive on the golf course and in everything else.
You came back for your fifth year at Wake Forest. What has it been like with a lot of the familiar faces now?
Yeah.
Not on your team anymore. Have you dealt with the change?
Yeah, it's been different. I feel like the old lady out here. Every time I tee it up in a college event, I'm like, oh, what year are you? Oh, I'm a freshman. I'm like, wow, I'm a grad student. But it has been a very different year. But I'm really lucky that I have two incredible coaches and, five great girls back home on our team. So, I look forward to coming out to practice every single day. And, I was really lucky when I started at Wake. I had some really incredible upperclassmen to kind of show me the ropes and show me, how to work hard and how to handle myself and how to represent Wake Forest. So the goal has been to be a role model for our newcomers. And I hope I've been that. I don't know if I have, but that was the objective when I came back for a fifth year.
We're just a couple days removed from Easter. Can't let you go without asking how the annual Keene Easter egg hunt went.
I really hope my brothers are watching because I won this year. And I actually, it was close. It was 7-6-5, but I did take home the title.
Any cheating or was this legit?
No cheating. This one was fair, although my younger brother did find one egg early, but we let him off the hook for that.
Right. Rachel, always good to catch up. Appreciate the time. Play well this week.
Thank you so much.
Let's send it back to you guys.
Thanks, Steve. And I'm sure that's not the last we're going to hear of Rachel Keene this week. Here's where you can watch her in action. Wednesday, Thursday, first and second rounds of the Augusta National Women's Amateur at 1:30 p.m. Eastern Time right here on Golf Channel. Friday, live from the Augusta National Women's Amateur during the practice round over at Augusta National. And then finally, the final competitive round at Augusta National. We are live from 10 a.m. and the final round at noon on NBC Network.